afternoon. This is Glenn Coble, and you're listening to A Progressive Life, and we'll be talking about all sorts of political things today, and we're going to be joined on the phone with Dr. Feynman. Are you there, Dr. Feynman?
Here I am.
All right. From sunny Florida, Dr. Feynman. And is it sunny down there now?
It's always sunny.
Except
when it rains.
Yeah, well, we're getting rain now, so I think it's finally stopped, but it's...
Well, we do need rain down here, and sometimes we don't get enough rain, but I prefer rain overnight, so I don't have to deal with it.
When I went to when I went to Hawaii several years ago with a basketball team, we played in a tournament over there.
Oh, wow.
And it was kind of fun. And when I went there, everybody told me, you're going to hate it, because we were going to the Big Island, and they were saying, it rains every day. Well, we went there for, I guess, probably 10 days, and... yeah, it rained, but it rained at night. That's not so bad.
Yeah. I was going to say, you've had an interesting life. You should write a memoir.
I have.
All your different activities, my gosh, you know.
Well, I did write a memoir, and you'll be happy to know it hasn't been published, and the reason why it wasn't published is because there's some dirty parts in it.
But just clean up the language a little bit, and you can still talk about it.
I wrote it for myself and my family so that when I'm gone... they can go back and say, ooh, I forgot he did that. Oh, I forgot he did that.
So it's typed form or it's in written form?
It's typed. It's 160 pages long. Matter of fact, it's on the internet, but I try not to tell people where it is.
Well, I'd like to look into sometime if you let me, you know.
Off the
you can
air,
send me the information privately, and I wouldn't share it.
Off the air, I'll tell you where you can find it. And you have to,
okay.
And it's kind of weird. You have to go backwards. You have to go to it, and then you have to work your way all the way to the front. We'll talk about it.
Just write me privately about it, yeah.
Yeah, I'll talk to you privately about it. All right, well, we've got more politics going on. Hey, did you listen to any of our discussions?
Yes, and I was shaking my head.
I thought you might be. Do you think that Roosevelt was the best president we've ever had?
I would put him and Lincoln in that. I'd say Lincoln probably and then FDR. And yes, he had negatives, but he had an awful lot of positives. Hoover has very few positives other than he was never anything like a Trump or a Nixon, nothing like that. And by the way, Nixon and Hoover have one distinction they share. They were both Quakers, Society of Friends.
That's right. I remember you told me that.
But Hoover, yes, he didn't. He believed in laissez-faire, but honestly, the way the Depression was at that time, he was simply stubborn about doing anything. And then in the year 32, he started to do some things like the Reconstruction Finance Corporation to help businesses that had gone bankrupt. And his own party, the conservatives, said he was a progressive, and we've had some people claim that he was really a progressive. And I'd say, well, he leaned into what became the New Deal. Some of his ideas were picked up by FDR. But I wouldn't call him a progressive, but that's the only thing. Even back in the 1930s, conservatives thought anything he would do to help people would somehow be socialist, you know. So he's been called progressive, but he's still a conservative. He is in the bottom 10, not the absolute bottom, I would say the 10 bottom. And he's a very decent man, but I don't think that you can really rank him other than in the bottom 10.
Well, did you hear what I said about my grandfather who lived through the... through all that period, my grandfather absolutely hated him. And
FDR, you mean?
Absolutely hated, FDR, I'm sorry, yes, and called him a socialist.
Well, I'm just curious, was this your grandfather?
Yes.
Was he, let's say, well-to-do?
Yes, he was.
Well, that's why.
Yes.
For most people who are not well-to-do, he was a lifesaver, and that's what we have to remember, you know. But unfortunately, now we see that even the millionaires don't pay taxes, we have just learned.
Yeah.
That's outrageous, it really is. We work income, and these people don't work, they give directions, they don't work. That's the whole thing, it's ridiculous about it. That, you know, so it's really upsetting that we just learned that.
I probably sweated more changing the bird feed seed that I had out outside yesterday than a lot of those guys sweat.
Yes, they're prima donnas, and, you know, it's, I don't know if it's ever going to change because the Republican Party won't allow it to change, and a lot of even Democrats now these days in Congress are too wealthy, not wealthy like that, but wealthy enough that many people would say, why are they in Congress? Are they there to do the people's business or to just enrich themselves more? I'm starting to think the latter.
I am too, unfortunately. Now, what do you think of the idea, I think it's been brought up, that Biden's thinking about making a floor on the amount of taxes that you pay of 15% of your of your taxes. What do you think about that?
Including these people, you
yes,
mean?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Well, I think, I don't know, would it be 50? I don't know whether it'll be 15, but I do think it's necessary to start making the understanding that everybody has to pay taxes and that lawyers and accountants cannot, cheat the American people because, you know, to me, these people got what they got. They benefited from it living in this country, but they owe taxes, some payments to the government to help support the needs of people less fortunate.
Well, now, when I was young and when you were young, they were paying, you know, supposedly the tax level was right around 90%.
And then it was 70 and then 50, yes.
But in fact, they all had great lawyers, and we had a lot more things that you could deduct back in those days.
I
remember when it got, my parents were a little concerned when they decided the only deduction you're going to be able to take was your home.
That was in the 80s, due to Reagan, yes.
Yeah, and I can remember thinking, ooh, that's going to be bad. It actually helped us out, I think. But putting a floor under the least amount that you can pay on taxes of 15%, if you make, I think if you make above $400,000.
Above $400,000, yes. Well, I think it's a good intention, but of course, getting it through the Senate is going to be impossible. As we know, and I've been writing about this, you know, we have a real crisis here with Joe Manchin.
Yes.
But even without him, and with the Republicans, like with Obama, made it clear they're not going to do anything to make Obama or Biden successful, and they're not going to do what's right for the country. And all they're doing is catering to the rich and to those who make loads of money and don't want to pay any taxes. And it's going to be very hard unless the Democrats get big margins like they did under Lyndon Johnson and FDR. There's not much that can be done about it. So it's a good intention, but I don't think it's going to lead to action.
What do you think the chances of the Democratic Party pulling down more senators and more congressmen?
Well, you look at history, it's not good because except in 1934 under Roosevelt, that's a long time ago, and 2002 after 9/11 when the party in the White House actually gained a few seats, not so much under Bush 2, but quite a bit under FDR, I think it's a real problem, and I am concerned that the Senate, which is 50-50, should go to the Democrats because two-thirds of the seats coming up are Republican-held seats, including people who are leaving, so we're going to have new people running for the Republican Party, like in Ohio, for instance,
right,
as one example. But history makes us worry about that, and the House is such a small margin, only about six or seven, I think it's seven now, because one seat that was filled in New Mexico after Debbie Holland became Interior Secretary did go to the Democrats, so they gained one seat there. But like in Florida, Alcee Hastings, the African-American congressman, died in April, and Ron DeSantis is setting it up. There's no representative until the end of January, 9 months later. That's outrageous. It should be within a few months, but he can do that in Florida, so he's preventing another Democrat there. It's going to be a problem to keep both houses, I think, and Nancy Pelosi is being made the villain, of course, by Republicans, and we have people saying all kinds of terrible things about her, including claiming she's ugly, and I don't think she's ugly, but who the hell cares? You don't judge people by looks anyway. But this is what goes on, you know, especially with women politicians. They go after them much more viciously than men.
When a woman is over 80 and she still looks as good as Nancy Pelosi, I think you're looking pretty good, lady.
Yes, and the point is she may have had plastic surgery. So what? How many men have had plastic surgery?
Yeah, right.
That is. And I'll tell you who could use it. Mitch McConnell could use it.
He needs to have something done with that neck of his.
And he also needs a brain transplant.
He needs what? I'm sorry, I missed that.
I said he needs a brain transplant. Yeah, that's because he's a miserable, horrible person. He really is.
But you know, he used to be different. 6 years ago.
Well, he's always a conservative, but he's become much more nasty in his old age. And by the way, the issue of age, of course, we have the oldest president in history, which is worrisome, not the man, but the fact that we have that. But the fact is we have a total of 20 senators who are 70 or over. 20, and five of them are in their 80s. And I think it is a problem, but it's the way it is. But it's worried me that if one, I think I may have said this before, maybe I didn't, that if one of the Democrats, whether the ones in the 80s or the 70s or anybody, dies suddenly, we suddenly have a Republican Senate because it's 50-50. Now, if a Republican dies, there's still a Democratic 50. But I'm saying anything could happen. Everybody, nobody has a guarantee on how long they're going to live. So I am very concerned about the fact that the aging Senate and the aging House, particularly the Senate, that, you know, it hurts either party. But right now, the Democrats just barely hold control. But if one person is not there, for whatever reason, was in the hospital and can't vote, well, that wouldn't necessarily change. But the point is, if they're out a long time, it makes it impossible to get things done at all.
I try not to wring my hands too much of all this stuff because you really don't know what's going to happen. It is worrisome, but I don't lose sleep over it.
No, I wouldn't say I lose sleep over it, but it's something I realized because I wrote an article on History News Network about three other times that the Senate was evenly divided and the problems they created. So that was in 1881 to 1883 under President Garfield, and then Arthur, because Garfield was assassinated. It was a Republican Senate, but it was just barely. And then in 1953-55 under Eisenhower, it was Republican Senate,
oh,
but evenly divided. And then, interestingly, in 53 and 54, an all-time record, 9 senators died in office. Can you believe that? And they weren't 70s and 80s. I'm sure they were not back then. And the thing is, at one point, there were more Democrats rather than Republicans, but it had been organized as a Republican Senate, but they actually had more votes. And then the third time is 2001 to 2003 under George W. Bush, where we had a Republican Senate, evenly divided because of Dick Cheney. And then one of the Republicans, Jim Jeffords of Vermont, who was more moderate to liberal, left the Republican Party in June 2001, became an independent, not a Democrat, but he allied with the Democrats. And so suddenly the Senate Majority Leader changed from Trent Lott to Tom Daschle. And so, that was a really wild time. So that could happen here, if something goes wrong with the Democrats, where Mitch McConnell could come back as Senate Majority Leader in this two-year 117th Congress. So it's happened three times.
Well, do you think, the times are different. We have a lot of people, a lot of the talking heads are saying, oh my goodness, it's only happened once or twice before that we didn't, the ruling party didn't lose people in the mid-election time.
Midterm election, yeah.
And, but my thinking on this is they have never had a time like this that follows a president like Trump.
And that's true, and I think the Republicans, like Portman's leaving. Whoever is the nominee for the Ohio Republican Party is probably going to be to the right of Portman, because Portman did support his January 6th commission, even though he didn't vote to convict Trump, but he did support that idea, and I commend him for that. And it could be a person, I hate to bring up the name, but Josh Mandel is really scary, but he could be the Republican nominee. He's got loads of money, and he's Trumpite all the way, and he burned, face masks, as he's so opposed to face masks. And I think his dramatism and also the fact that he's a Trumpite, he could be the nominee, and I would hope that Ohio would not vote him in over, say, Tim Ryan, but who knows?
Detrimental
to the party, people like that, but you never know.
Tim Ryan is a little bit like Sherrod Brown in that he is a very labor-oriented type of guy. And he's learned well from Sherrod Brown.
Yes.
And therefore, I think he's probably got a better chance, as good a chance as any Democrat, to win that seat.
Well, in Ohio, I think he does, but it might be Mandel, or it could be someone else, but they're way to the right, and that's true in many states, and it depends whether the Trump vote, which I think is receding, and now he's off Facebook too, and and all that, but I think there is a chance that some of these Trumpites could get in, make the Senate more extreme, and they have 20, I think it's 22 seats they have to defend against 11 for the Democrats. So you would think that the Senate would gain more Democrats. But don't forget, the Democrats, some of them will be in trouble in their states, the ones that are running. So you could have maybe three seats gained and three seats lost, and then nothing's gained except in particular seats. That's what worries me.
I would buy that if nothing was lost or nothing gained. Right now, at least, it's even.
Well, that's true. But let's say we have three Democrats lose and four Republicans, or three Republicans lose. You know, point is, it would be better than nothing. But another 2 years of an evenly divided Senate, I really want a majority, but I want it for the Democrats.
Yeah.
And I think they have the edge. But who knows? And the House, you never know. The dirty tactics of the Republican Party and Kevin McCarthy, they're going to make out Pelosi to be a monster. And by the way, I thought she was planning to give up being House Speaker. Now she doesn't say that, I see. And I'm thinking, come on already. You would seem to hint that you're going to leave, maybe not leave Congress, although maybe, but leave in 2022. But it sounds like she's not ready to say that. So that could cause a split in the Democratic Party, too, because I think a lot of people feel you're going to. She's 81 now. It's time, when you're 83 almost, it's time to leave, not because of ageism, but because it's time for someone else. She's been the leader of the party for like 15 years.
How old is McConnell? Do you remember?
McConnell is actually the age of Joe Biden, but he's older. He's already, his birthday was in February, so he's 79. So he's going to be there as far as at the Senate for four more years until 2025. But, I mean, he's actually 9 months older than Joe Biden. There is a need to get younger leadership, I really think, but what can you do? It's ageism if you say what I'm saying.
Well, it'd be interesting.
I just think we need a new speaker on the Democratic side, honestly.
It would be interesting to have two octogenarians at the head of the helms at both parties.
Well, the fact is that Chuck Schumer is in his early 70s, but I'm saying Pelosi is over 80, and a year from that, I guess next February, it's still the same Congress, McConnell will be 80, yeah.
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 Okay, one of the things that really, really is disappointing me, well, there are a lot of things that are disappointing me now, but one of them is that we have, apparently, our Senate has stopped the idea of moving ahead with a look into the January 6th attack.
This is a bipartisan thing, but the speaker will have it happen.
Yeah.
It has to be investigated.
Yeah, it's going to be investigated. I'm absolutely certain that the House will investigate it. But then everybody on the right side of the aisle is going to say, well, yeah, but it was done by Democrats, so it's all corrupt.
Because the Republicans refused to care about the U.S. Capitol and the police officers that were killed and harmed, and not even see the mother of Brian Sicknick, most of them, and refuse to, to vote for the idea of a commission. I don't think that's going to ring well with people.
What?
I really don't think so.
What?
But again, some people, yes. We know there are those who are Trump supporters who think he's God personified. There's nothing we can do about that. We have a mental illness. I really think it's mental illness on the part of those people who just see nothing really bad happen when we know it was horrible. And the video evidence shows it, and all the other 550 people arrested. I mean, come on. I mean, it's just crazy. It really is.
It is crazy. It is interesting also to note, though, I saw, I guess it was on the weekend, that even amongst the Republicans, the Republican voter, support for our past president has diminished by about 20%. So.
Yes, he has gone down, and now he doesn't have a regular place to vent because he's not on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, and he gave up that 29-day, his own website, he gave it up. So, however, he made a speech in North Carolina. He's going to make other speeches. But I don't think about the same authority, but there's still going to be 30-35% that think that he should be there for life. I mean, it's just crazy. We have a cult-like worship of a person who accomplished very little in office that was positive. And again, I've said this in my class. Did he start the process on the vaccines? Yes. We give him credit for it, but he did not cooperate on the issue of masks or vaccination adequately. He he condemned Fauci now, and he really didn't cooperate with those people. But again, yes, we have to admit that's true. I'm not saying it isn't. Secondly, the economy was doing well until February, March of last year. But again, it was well when Obama came in. Yeah, he just improved it. He didn't create prosperity. It was already there. But yes, we could say, okay, 3 years it was better. But then look what happened. And it's unfortunate, but that's the life story. Not everybody gets what they want. And of course, and I heard Scott say this, I think last week, and he's right, that we had no wars, no military intervention anywhere. And that is a positive for Trump. Yep. So there are a few things, but it still does not make him be above the bottom of the presidents, other than maybe Buchanan and Andrew Johnson.
The economy was getting better under Obama.
Tremendously, it was the greatest recovery ever.
And it was getting better under Trump, but at the same rate that it was getting better.
And it would have been under President Hillary Clinton, the same thing. It's not because he was there. It was the trend. And by the way, FDR didn't have as good a result. The unemployment was still high when World War II came on. Well, under Obama, we didn't have a World War II or anything like that. And it took time to start, but it really was the greatest economic recovery, from 10% unemployment when he came in to 4.7%. Never been as good any other time. And then it went down to 3.4, I think, under Trump before it went up. So, of course, it improved, but it would have improved for anyone who was there for those for that period
because
of time.
Because that was the trend it was on, yeah.
Yes. So don't give Trump all the credit. Say, okay, it did do well, but Obama set him up for it. Well, Bush, you know, gave Obama the worst economic collapse since 1932-33.
Yeah.
Hoover to FDR. So it's a big difference.
Now, one of the things that my wife yells at my TV for, and I wish she'd quit, but she yells at my TV because so many Democrats are criticizing other Democrats, like OAC's criticism of Vice President Harris, and there are other Democrats that are criticizing Democrats, but I find that a sign of vitality in the Democrats.
Yes, I think it's vitality. It doesn't mean everybody has to agree on everything. Do we want everybody to be in lockstep with the leader or whatever that means? I mean, come on, this is a democratic country, being not the party, democracy, and you can disagree, but they'll still come together and agree on the big things. I do think that Harris made a blunder in the way she first answered about the issue of people coming to the United States from Guatemala and Honduras and El Salvador. And I think she's learning. She's on a learning curve. I think she's a little nervous about. I mean, it's new to her because, you know, she didn't expect to be vice president a year ago. I mean, of course, women are good at attacking other women anyway.
Well, now,
more than attacking men, you know.
Have you noticed? I listened to her speech yesterday down in South America, in Central America, and it was really quite good. And it was
that was a follow up after not doing so well on the first.
Right.
Yeah,
it was totally
true.
off the cuff. She was not. It didn't look like she was reading the teleprompter at
no,
all.
No, and she's a lot smarter than Mike Pence, who gives a speech, I guess, a week or so ago, and says we will never agree, the president and I. But he's not willing to condemn what happened. You know, he's so weak. He's such a sycophant, as I wrote on my blog. It's a disgrace. He really is a disgraceful person. But he himself was threatened, and his own brother votes against the commission. His brother was there. Indiana Congressman Greg Pence. What kind of a brother does that?
Yeah, kind of weird.
Very strange family, but of course, God's behind them, as they would say. And they want to impose their will and what they think about every issue on everybody else. That's why it's disgraceful. I really think it is.
You didn't know my brother, but no, he wasn't that bad. Anyway, how about the, now that we're finding actual proof of spying on media reps,
yes, I do not approve of at all. I think it's terrible. It's been happening before, and apparently it may still be happening. And the Justice Department, I'm a little confused about Merrick Garland and he's going. I don't know. I guess there's a rhyme to the reason, but I am a little confused, yeah.
I don't understand why they're supporting, what is it, they're coming out and supporting a thing that was a pro-Trump thing, and I can't remember what it was.
Well, it has to do with this case of E. Jean Carroll, who claims she was raped and wants to have his DNA, and It's like, you know, it became a defamatory issue, although I think it's been defamed to President, you know, Trump much more than this. But I don't fully understand. I heard about it last night on Rachel Maddow about what was being said. But even she's confused. And if she's confused, then I'm confused.
and they're kind of saying it was done in his role
as the lowest president.
Raping somebody is
I really don't understand that. The president is not interfering. This is the Justice Department separate, so it's not Joe Biden directly. But I don't know. I just hope we're not going to have a disaster here in the Justice Department. I'm a little concerned. I mean, you know, it's almost five months, and now the criticisms are starting within the party and outside. And some of that you can't avoid, because never will everything be the way you want it, you know?
Well, now, how about your boy over there in Israel, Netanyahu, who is really using Trump's playbook?
He's been there much too long. And, you know, my son, you know, who used to work for the Jewish Federation, he left that field, and he's now a conservation instant agent because they couldn't deal with people in the Jewish community who were willing to back everything that Netanyahu did and never have any criticism. And it's definitely his time for him to be gone and for him to be put on trial for the crimes he's been accused of. And he's just a monster. I think he may have been right a while back, but too long in power, you know?
Yeah. Well, now, he's basically doing exactly what Trump did. He's saying he was run out of office and the election was corrupt. He's actually saying the identical things. I think it was on Rachel last night where they were kind of booking him with Trump. And they'd show Trump on one side of the screen, and then they'd show Netanyahu on the other side of the screen. They're saying exactly the same things. And maybe there'll be another January 6th over in Israel. I don't know.
I am concerned about that. Yes, there's a very divided Israel anyway.
Yeah.
And, you know, one thing I had not been aware of is that Yitzhak Rabin was assassinated, the prime minister, in 1995 by a right-wing Israeli.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember the time, but now I've learned, apparently, unless it's not true, that he had been, you know, I'm talking about Netanyahu,
right,
who was not yet prime minister, but he was in the Knesset, was extremely defamatory of Rabin for, you know, for negotiating with the Palestinians, and was really saying outrageous things, and many people there think that he helped to provoke this, and again, can you really say that? Who knows? Provoke this right-wing nut who assassinated Rabin. So you wonder, you know, whether, you know, he has some blood on his hands symbolically for the way he dealt with Rabin, that is Netanyahu, back in 1994-95. It definitely doesn't help his reputation. He's already the longest serving prime minister, 12 plus years plus 3 years back in the 90s, 15 years, and nobody is indispensable in an executive position, and they need to go.
Well, do you think there's ever going to be a possibility that the Israelis will say, yes, we can have a two-state solution? Yeah,
I think it has to happen, but obviously a lot of Israelis don't. You know, I think I may have said to you, or maybe I didn't, that during the 11-day conflict, that we had young Israelis on a video I saw on Facebook being interviewed. And there were young people, men and women, not older people, and they all were saying that we should kick them out, you know, kick all the Palestinians out, force them out, or kill them. And nobody was, of course, it was just the ones who interviewed. And I'm thinking, what kind of a mindset is this for young people to feel that way, that you can't accept the opposition, or you can't see that anybody else has a right just like you do?
Yeah, it hurts my heart to hear people, especially young people, saying things like that.
But even white supremacists in this country keep on attacking anybody who's different, and there's so much more of this because of Donald Trump.
Yeah, and a lot of those are young people. If you remember the march down in, was it Richmond or wherever it was, where they were walking around with their...
Charlottesville, University of Virginia, yes.
With their tiki... torches and stuff, saying no Jews will replace us.
And that was also mentioning Jews, which supposedly Trump is pro-Israel in a way. His policies seem to be pro-Netanyahu anyway. But the fact is that he consorted with anti-Semites and claimed they were good people on both sides.
Yeah, that's kind of strange.
So he may not be anti-Semitic personally, but he has consorted with anti-Semites, Donald Trump.
Yeah.
Along with people, white supremacists against blacks, Latinos, Asian Americans. Look at Asian Americans. The crime rate is skyrocketing against Asian Americans because of what he calls the China flu, our former president.
That's nuts. Why would people even slightly think it's their fault?
Even if you want to blame China, that has nothing to do with people who are Chinese or Japanese or Vietnamese, Korean in this country. They're not part of it. No, you're right.
I don't know.
It's a horrible situation.
My mother and father didn't raise me that way, unfortunately. Hey, I can't...
Even though your father was a minister, but I'll tell you, when you see these evangelical right-wingers, not all evangelicals are right-wing, and they can back a person who's had three wives and cheated on every one of them. I'm talking about Trump. How
right?
can they justify that?
I have no idea.
There is no answer to what I'm saying.
Well, I think we're learning that people are going to be people. They will take advantage of anything that they can that'll make them richer, more powerful, or get more sex. not in that order.
Well, I tell you, the major sins of the world are money and sex. What do you think about it? But also the glories.
And you know, people go for power because power will get them sex.
Yeah.
I came across an interesting quote this past week. Sebastian Junger. Do you know who Sebastian Junger is? It doesn't make any difference if you know
him
or not. But one of his quotes, in a democracy, we are not free from obligations, but we should be free from oppression. I thought that was so thought-provoking.
Who said this now?
Sebastian Junger, J-U-N-G-E-R. He's a
Yeah, that's a brilliant statement, actually.
Yes, I mean, the fact that you're not free from obligations. You have obligations. As a member of our democracy, you need to own up to your obligations.
Yeah, but a lot of people take the view, I do what I want, the hell with everybody else.
Freedom!
Freedom.
I'm so tired of hearing some people...
Selfishness and greed, that's all it is.
Yeah.
And I can't live with myself if I acted that way. I couldn't.
I couldn't either. But the obligations, you do have obligations, but you should be free from oppression. I like that part of the statement as well.
Yes.
Oppression, for some reason...
Obligations, but not oppression, yes.
For some reason, people have decided if they oppress you, they're more important than you are, or they mean more than you do.
Yes, unfortunately, but I look at everybody as equal. Like, so somebody might say, let's just say a particular person who's Asian or black or Jewish maybe is not a good person. Okay, you can be against that person, but you don't stereotype and generalize that all blacks, all Asians, all Jews, all this, all that are the same. You just might individually say, I don't like that particular person who happens to be whatever he or she is.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I've gone down my whole list of things that I was going to talk to you about. Have you come across anything down there in the state of Florida, which is the state, in my mind, being challenged by Texas, but...
oh, God, it's terrible what's going on here. And the crime rate, I'm not in Miami, but the crime rate in Miami is skyrocketing, but it's everywhere. The number of gun deaths and little kids being shot. There was this case in California of a mother taking her son to, I think it was kindergarten, and she was on one of the roads somewhere in Southern California, and she was merging onto the lane and got in the way of somebody, and then, you know, whatever it is, so the people in that other car shot through her window and killed her 6-year-old son in his car seat in the back seat.
Oh, my goodness.
And they did get them, thank God, but why do these things happen? Road rage, as we call it, as an example, but also gangs, and it's just generally people, too many guns, and it's getting worse and worse, and, you know, and now we have that particular judge in California who said the assault weapons law since 1989 in California is the same as an army knife or something,
yes,
so he declared unconstitutional.
Swiss Army knife, yes. Now, I learned how to use both a Swiss Army knife, it wasn't called a Swiss Army knife, when I was in the Army.
Well, that was the last century you were in the Army.
I learned how to use use that. I learned how to use a bayonet, and I also learned how to use an M16.
Are they equal? No.
Of the three, you can kill a lot more with the M16. It'll take you forever to kill anybody with a Swiss Army knife.
So that judge, who was appointed by George W. Bush, needs to be removed. I guess he won't be. He should be impeached. He's incompetent.
Well, it's amazing how many, like I said on our show earlier today, I used to think of the Supreme Court with honor. I thought they were honorable men, whether they were Republican, Democrat, right, left, whatever. I thought they were all honorable men. I find it hard to believe that all judges are honorable people anymore.
No, I agree with you. And unfortunately, the three Trump judges and the two Bush 2 judges, plus the Bush 1 judge, who was Clarence Thomas, they're the six. You know, except for Roberts, the Chief Justice, the others, I think, well, sometimes Gorsuch seems all right, but basically they're just horrible, and they're going to transform this country on abortion and gun rights and so many other things, and that's why I say Stephen Breyer needs to be convinced to leave and make sure that Biden picks his replacement, but it looks like, from what we gather, he's stubborn, he doesn't want to leave, and our bad luck will be, God forbid, that the Senate goes Republican, and then he dies or leaves in 23 or 24, and another Republican judge is appointed, and then we'll never have any hope from the court, because don't forget, they changed the Voting Rights Act in 2013 in Shelby County versus Holder, and that's why we have so much trouble with the voting rights issue. They should not have done that, and that was back during the Obama administration, when the Supreme Court was not as right-wing as it is now, but still right-wing enough, you know?
Well, now, somebody, I was watching some show, and they were talking about a judge that was appointed 3 years ago and still hasn't been able to take the seat because he hadn't been approved by the Republicans in that state.
In a state judge, so not in the U.S.,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right. But that's...
What state is that? You don't know.
I can't remember. I'm sorry. But
what
just,
state was that? Do you know?
No, I don't.
Yeah. Well, right now I heard that the Biden judge is starting to be confirmed now. I haven't heard who it was, but I heard, I think yesterday one was confirmed. There's quite a few vacancies. Because that's important for the circuit courts and the especially the district courts. This is a district court judge that declared that the Swiss Army knife and the AR-15 is the same thing or is equivalent to the same, which is pure insanity. The person needs to have his head examined.
One of the judges that was just approved had been waiting for over a year.
On the U.S. level?
Yeah, which is kind of strange.
So I don't understand, though. It would have been under Trump, though, this appointee.
Yeah,
so because he hasn't been there a year. I don't know what you mean exactly, which person, but it's only been 5 months of Joe Biden. So I don't know.
Anyway,
I'll just try to look into figure out what you're talking about.
You know, I wish I knew what I was talking about. I have no idea what I'm talking about.
So I'm just saying, because if it's a Biden judge, it wouldn't have been from last year because he wasn't there. So.
No, but I think maybe he had been nominated quite a while ago. And
maybe in January, but it's taken to now. Well, they do everything to have delay tactics, yes. That's nothing new for the Republican Party.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Do they not want... Well, that's why I call this show A Progressive Life. Because
yes.
It seems to me, if we don't progress, all we do is go back.
Yeah, I don't think progressives are right on everything.
No.
But I still say, I could not live with myself, you know, if I did not promote progressive goals. That's just me. It's my inner being, you know.
Well, some people don't want to move ahead because they like it the way it is, you know.
And they'll only think about, how does it benefit me? I don't look at everything as how it only benefits me. How does it benefit the nation?
Well, I kind of understand where people come from. If they have it good right now, why would you want to change? But having it good right now, you can have it better tomorrow.
Yes.
If you keep progressing.
Yes, absolutely. Yep.
If we try to go back, we're going to fall back into the same problems we've had in the past. At least, like you said, Trump didn't get us into a war. I think he didn't get us into a war, not because he didn't want us into a war, but he was just too lazy to do it.
Yes.
I don't.
It's all this story. Once he'll be back in August, which he will not be. Does he have a plan if he came back somehow magically? What kind of a plan? He doesn't even know what's even going on. He's so ignorant, you know?
Nobody has any idea what type of plan there is there. But there are a lot of people that want him to come back.
For what?
What
reason that makes sense. I don't. It's the most corrupt administration, more than Nixon or any other. It's definitely the most corrupt administration. People being indicted, convicted, may have been pardoned because you could do that, but it's continuing. You know, the investigation of all the policies he pursued and the people that worked around him. So I don't understand it. I really don't. But I've learned you can take a horse to water, you can't make it drink, is the old saying.
Well, now Scott and I agreed today on the idea that Nixon was not a bad president. He was a pretty good president.
Yes, as far as policies, except for the corruption around him. But he was very good on foreign policy in a number of areas, and domestic policy, he actually was fairly progressive. He is the one that promoted and signed into law, which he could have vetoed, and it would not have become law, the Environmental Protection Agency, the Consumer Product Safety Commission, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, also endorsed affirmative action, which Republicans have not endorsed since 1980. You know, he really was quite progressive, continuing what LBJ had started, and of course, he did, of course, open up to China, and he did promote detente with the Soviet Union, so there were definite positives, and he's a smart man, too, yes.
Now, I don't, and he was also a Quaker.
He's also a Quaker, yes, as Hoover was, yes.
We only have a couple more minutes left to go, but,
yes.
Now I forgot what I was going to ask you.
About Nixon?
It was about Nixon. I can't remember what it was. Oh, well, I'll remember next week, and we'll talk.
Okay, I wanted to mention, though, that I've written an article that's a while back when Trump was in office, that a lot of the things Nixon did, Trump was trying to destroy, including environmental, consumer laws, and all that. So he actually was working against the Nixon reforms domestically. He was actually trying to reverse them, and he had some success, but thank goodness Joe Biden came in and he's reversed a lot of the things that started to be damaged. But he actually was working against Nixon's ideas, Trump. I don't even know if he realized that, but he was.
I'm surprised.
He doesn't realize it.
I'm surprised he would know he was working against anybody's ideas. Was he smart enough to know that?
No.
No, okay.
I don't think he was. But I think Nixon would, I wonder how Nixon would have felt. I tend to think he would have been a bit stunned. How does he get away with so much, you know? And I think he would probably soundly agree that he should have been removed from office. You know, certainly the second time. Because Nixon was not a person who would have promoted the idea of an attack on the U.S. Capitol.
Right, yeah, no. Now,
he looks better. And look, he's not in the bottom 10. He's in the mid-20s among scholars. He's, you know, he's the second third. You know, he's 1 to 15 is the first third, 15 to 30 is the second. So he's in the second third, usually in the mid-20s. So he's not rated anywhere, near Herbert Hoover, no. Even though Herbert Hoover's a nicer person and I think has good intentions, but it's just so incompetent, I think.
Is Biden 46 or 47?
He's 46, but it's actually the 45th because Grover Cleveland's counted twice.
Oh, yeah.
He's the 45th person, but the 46th president. We count Cleveland as 22nd and 24th.
So there is precedent to have Trump come back in 24, right?
Oh, God. Well, in theory, yes.
In theory.
And, but, of course, if he's indicted and he's convicted, he will not be able to. And I think he's going to be.
Okay.
On financial things. I'm not sure about all these things like the D. Jean Carroll, you know, with that rape thing. No, I don't know. I mean, he should be. And Stormy Daniels is trying to get involved in the whole case against Trump. So, but probably on the financial things, I think.
We're down to our last minute. You got anything you got to tell us about before next week?
Well, thank you again for inviting me, and I'm looking forward to next week. I just want to point out that Robert Kennedy, of course, was assassinated 53 years ago on June 6th, and I wrote about it on my blog and said that he was the kind of person who was able to put together a coalition of working class whites, as well as African Americans and Hispanic Americans and young people, and that I think he could have changed the course of history if he had not been assassinated.
One of the saddest moments I remember listening to was that moment when he had to tell a predominantly African-American crowd that, or when somebody had to tell them that he had been
assassinated. In Memphis, after King's assassination, Martin Luther King, yes. Yeah.
Well, we got to get out of here, so have yourself a great day.
I had a great time talking to you, and we'll talk to each other next week.
Good enough. Bye-bye.
Thanks so much.
This is WGH Radio 107.1 FM. Your place for the latest news in politics. From Scott Spears at the 2016 Republican National Convention.
Good morning, we're on the air.
Hey, Charlie, it's Scott.
Scott? Oh, wow. Okay, we've been wanting to hear from you, Scott.
Well, I tell you, this morning I did something different. Yesterday we were outside with the protesters, so today I made sure we got here a little earlier, got through the checkpoints, and I am actually calling you from Cleveland, Ohio, Republican National Convention, inside. I am sitting right now